A year of COVID-19 shutdowns continues to be particularly hard for performers who rely on live shows and events to help boost their sales. While streaming services are at all-time highs, many independent performers have to find workarounds to get their music to new fans. For some, it's bringing new success they might have never found in pre-pandemic times. NewsHour Weekend's Christopher Booker has the story.
At this point, it would be impossible to quantify just how many people Todd Rundgren has performed in front of. For over 50 years, on tour after tour, his life has been spent on the road, in front of people. Until, of course, this year.
Is this the longest stretch that you've gone throughout your career as a professional musician?
Pretty much, except for 1 year in the late 70s, I think. When I took a year off to learn computer programming.
Like the rest of us, Rundgren spent much of 2020 in suspended animation.
I was supposed to go out last May with a tour, you know, with a serious national tour. That got moved to the summer, and then it got moved to the fall, and then it got moved to February. And when it got moved from February to October, I said, that's enough. You know, I can't do nothing. I don't want to be this long disconnected from my fans.
But tonight, rather unbelievably, he's back on the road, on stage, performing live with a full band, backup singers and all, in front of a crowd, during COVID. While being on the road is a relative term in this case, Rundgren is playing for an audience in a city. Having set up in a warehouse space in Chicago, each show is broadcast live to audience members in a specific city only. Local fans from that zip code are able to buy access to the stream.
We have quite a number of video screens set up as if they're in the audience. And so you can buy, you know, a ticket to the front rows, to the first couple rows, and we will see you. And we will also kind of sprinkle through that actual live bodies to the degree that we are allowed to and that we can keep them safe and healthy. And we can localize the show so that it feels more like we're doing it specifically for them.
Tonight's show is actually a hometown show, if you will. Playing from Chicago for Chicago. And even though the crowd may look just a bit different, Rundgren is connecting.
We're just so desperate for some music, for some entertainment, for something, you know, that will make us feel a little bit normal.
There is so much room to create new experiences around music.
Nick Dangerfield is the co-founder of Oda, a live music company that broadcasts performances from the homes of artists through a dedicated speaker system. While Rundgren is working to bring the stage into your home, Oda turns the artist's home into the stage.
It is essentially every weekend a new artist kind of takes ownership of the network and transmits over the 3 days of the weekend. We provide all the engineering support and we kind of set them up, and then the artist has a little box with a single button. Every time they press the button, they're live on the network.
Similar to a concert series, owners of the speakers can subscribe to seasonal Oda programming.
Our focus a lot is on elderly artists that, on the one hand, might not be able to tour or have less ability to tour, and on the other, they are not able to participate in digital network.
How does this differ from a radio transmission or a streaming performance on YouTube?
Our program will always be live and it's not archived. The recordings belong to the artists and they can release them later, but we will not play back recordings. If you know that you have that one chance to listen to that, you will possibly pay more attention.
But even before COVID pushed such experimentation into the forefront, connecting to an audience as a musician was never easy. A process made all the more complicated with the rise of music streaming platforms like Spotify.
We have 345 million users on our platform. And then on the artist side, you know, there's millions, and we're receiving 60,000 new tracks a day.
Jeremy Ehrlich is the global co-head of music at Spotify. While the company is based in Sweden, Ehrlich works from Los Angeles with a team of 100 editors sprinkled all over the world. His team curates the musical experience on the platform, from developing high-profile playlists to the selection and placement of songs.
In 2020, we managed to playlist 76,000 artists for the very first time. And the carry-on effect from that is through all of our properties, every month, there's 16 billion discoveries.
When you say there are 16 billion discoveries, what does that mean? Someone's heard a song for the first time, or?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's astonishing thinking, though, that when you're getting 60,000 song submissions, I probably have not listened to 60,000 songs in my whole life.
Yeah. It's one of the interesting things that's happening in the world. It's easier to break than ever because so many of the barriers that existed before aren't there. But with all those barriers going away, there's also been an influx of content. Creating that moment, that spark, and that connection between an artist and his fan base is easier and more difficult than it ever has been at the same time.
Now, there has been criticism from artists that Spotify does not pay enough. You know, you have the large artists of the world who I'm sure are doing quite well in the streaming realm, but you have the smaller artists who maybe their income was largely subsidized through touring. How do you respond to the criticism of Spotify and how much it pays its artists?
I think the criticism is slightly misdirected and sometimes unfair when you look at how much of our revenue we do pay out in royalties. You know, last year we paid $5 billion in royalties out. And that number is growing every single year.
For younger artists coming up in this streaming world who are able to find an audience, building and maintaining connections to their fans is a different endeavor where the old rules don't really apply.
Touring was never like the biggest moneymaker. It was always streams and music royalties, mainly because I own my music and I produce a lot of my music.
Brooklyn rapper Coda the Friend's career has been developed almost entirely online. In 5 years, his Spotify audience has grown from 250 monthly listeners to over 3 million.
Coronavirus and COVID, like, it affected me mentally and emotionally, but not financially.
Do you think of yourself kind of as a new type of artist existing in a kind of new business realm?
Definitely. I think artists like myself, and there are other people like me, we make music and we put it out and we get paid from our music. I'm able to grow my career as fast as I can. I'm able to kind of figure out where I'm going to be in a year.
Even after a year like this?
Even after a year like this. Like, I can still figure out where I'm going to be. You know, I can't think about the 60,000 other people putting out songs. I'll never make it. You know, if I'm, you know, constantly anxious about who else is, there's so many people releasing music. You know, I just got to think about me and think about what am I doing for my music.
Coda's focus seems to be working just fine. His latest album, To Kill a Sunrise, released 3 weeks ago, debuted at number 5 on Spotify's U.S. album charts. Everybody wants something more, always looking for a fix when there's nothing wrong.